Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. At Thanksgiving, everybody goes back home to loved ones for that turkey dinner. Some of us give thanks for God's provision. When 10 lepers were healed by Jesus, only one bothered to say thanks. Are you among the 9, or are you the one? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is bringing more of a Thanksgiving message on one leper's gratitude, a man who returned to thank Jesus for his newfound health.
But they'd heard about Jesus, they had heard about his miracles, they heard about the things that Jesus was able to do, and so they asked for mercy. Possibly they thought that he might heal them, but what they were saying is, show some compassion upon us. And I'm sure that as they cried with a loud voice, the Bible says, it was as if they were echoing this all together in one common chorus of 10 voices. Master, have mercy on us. One thing about a leper that is not true of sin, and that is that they knew that they were not normal. You say, they knew that they had a need. God bless them for that. They could look around and they could see other people with discernibly 10 fingers and 10 toes. They could look around and they could see other people who did not have putrefying sores oozing out of their body. And so they knew that they had this specific need. And so they asked Jesus for mercy, hoping that they would be healed. They raised their voices because they knew they had a need. If you're here today and you want Jesus Christ to heal you and to help you, you need to know that you have a need. The lepers knew that. Sometimes sinners do not know that. Well, that's the second similarity. They all had the same disease. They all wanted healing. And all of them were obedient. Now, with your Bibles open, this is a remarkable text. You'll notice it says, when he saw them, that is when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Wow. You see, in the book of Leviticus, it said very clearly that if a leper thinks he is healed, he can't simply integrate back into society on his own. What he needs to do is to go to the priest and get permission to. And if you read the 13th chapter of Leviticus, you find that there's a procedure that the priest is to go through over a period of 7 days and so forth to ascertain that indeed this person is free of leprosy. Now Jesus says to them, go show yourself to the priests. Now, go show yourself to the priest to check to whether or not you're healed. They weren't healed yet. They looked at their bodies and they noticed that there were only knobs where there should be fingers. They looked at their toes that were not there. They looked at their sores that were still open and bleeding. And now Jesus is saying, show yourself to the priests. What do you mean, Jesus? Heal me, and then I'll go to the priest. No. Jesus said, you go show yourself to the priest. And amazingly, they were all obedient. That's the third similarity. They were all obedient, the Bible says, and as they went, they were cleansed because of their faith. They were willing to obey Jesus, which was so contrary to their circumstances. You see, that's the way faith is, isn't it? Faith does not see things as they are. Faith sees things within the context of God's promises, and faith sometimes has to go on believing even when circumstances are completely contrary to it. When if what you did was look around you, all that you would do is to see despair and hopelessness. Faith sees beyond that. That's the very nature of faith. And that's the way we're to believe God's promises. God says that for those who are believers in Jesus Christ, that you are dead in your trespasses, but it also says that we died with Christ and are raised to new life. And you look at yourself and you say, I don't see it. I don't see new life. I see sinful desires. I see weaknesses. And the question is, can you believe it even if it is not yet there, because you believe the promises of God? As they were going, they were cleansed. Contrary to sight, contrary to observation, they believed and they went. Now, you'll notice the fourth similarity, all of them were healed. As they went, they were cleansed. Can't you just imagine it? They're on their way to the temple to see the priest, and suddenly they look at themselves and their fingers are there. Their toes are there. They can straighten up their back. They look at their sores, and there is no longer blood oozing from the sores. They look at their skin, and it seems like the skin of a child, and they are absolutely overwhelmed. Imagine, not only mercy, which actually is a definition of that which God gives us and keeps us from. Mercy means the judgment that we should have does not come to us. Grace means that we receive what we did not deserve. They asked for mercy, and in the process, they received mercy plus grace, double dose of grace, as they came to Jesus. So they were all healed. Imagine, healed physically, being able to see themselves in a new way, healed emotionally. No longer will they be outcasts. Somehow the healing outside is reflected in the healing of the soul inside, because now they are different people. They begin to think that at last we can go back to our families, at last we can sit at dinner with them, at last we can play with our grandchildren. We can do all of these things, they are thinking to themselves. And on the way to the temple they go to find the priest with a great deal of joy. But notice the similarities end. It says, verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Oh, incidentally now, he was a Samaritan. Jesus says, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Remember that the Samaritans were the despised people because they were of mixed race. They were part Assyrian and part Jewish. And in the Jewish mind, they were despised more than pagans themselves. And so it's the Samaritan, it's the person of the wrong race, it's the person without the pedigree, it's the person without the history, it's the person who can't point to any self-righteousness. He can't go back and say, Abraham was my father. It is that person that returns to give praise to God, and he stands out in a crowd, and Jesus commends him. What can we say about this act of praise? First of all, he did it promptly. He didn't go to the temple first and then come back. He said, even before I go to the priest, I want to come there now. And so it is that even though he left with the work of death in his heart and his deteriorating body, he was now coming back healed to give praise to God, and he did it promptly. When you and I have a crisis in our lives, we should give thanks to God immediately, promptly, because God deserves praise. Imagine, someone says, God's treasury would be overflowing if the revenue of thanks were duly paid. God loves people who praise him and thank him. So he did it promptly. He did it intensely. The Bible says that he fell on his face and with a loud voice he praised God. This is an expression of gratitude that that overflowed. Nobody told him, be thankful. He was thankful, and he let it show. It was also done publicly. It was done publicly. He didn't care who heard this. This was an expression of praise to God that he wanted everyone to know about. And so he is the one who stands out in the crowd. What are the bottom line? What's the bottom line here, the take home for us? Thankfulness grows best. Thankfulness grows best in the soil of human need. You know that it is not rich people who are thankful. Rich people do a lot of complaining. Oftentimes. Not always, but oftentimes. It is oftentimes the poor person who has found a sandwich. It is the poor person who has found a job. It is the poor person who gets a new set of clothes. Now, there's some real gratefulness, isn't there? And sometimes it grows out of human need, and even in the midst of human need, God intends that we be grateful for the big things, the small things, the hard things, and the easy things. God intends that we be thankful for them all. You see, your ability to praise God for your salvation is directly dependent upon your understanding of the depth of your sin before God rescued you from yourself and from eternal judgment. The more grateful we are that God saved sinners such as us, the more we will praise. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, one of the most favorite hymns of Christendom. But he wrote it having been a slave trader and having told people that he was willing to give them a prize for some new way of sinning that he hadn't tried yet. He could curse worse than any of the other ones on that ship. And when he got saved, he knew that this was an opportunity to praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You see, it is human need that gives us the ability to really be people who praise God. And it is this man who stood out in the crowd. The others benefited. You'd think that the others would have been thankful. But there's something within us that resists gratitude. We resist it because we always think of somebody else who has more than we have.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend, it is true that we really do sin by our ungratefulness. God can give us any number of mercies, and of course, we oftentimes don't thank Him for those, but let one bad thing happen. Let one tragedy come our way, and we're complaining, and we're asking why. So take out these final seconds of this program and simply give thanks to God. Give Him thanks for today, for your health, for your strength, and all these mercies that He gives to us daily.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Just One in a Crowd, the story of a thankful leper. Next time, why that leper is a role model for each one of us who forgets to pause long enough to say thank you. Today's message can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.